subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast.
Welcome everybody back to the Ninja Selling Podcast. And today we have an incredible guest with us. And we like to highlight ninjas that are out there really crushing it, because there is a lot of, let's say, press and media around agents that are out there, so to speak, that are very much in the news, on television, and everybody wants to know what the cool new thing that people are doing. And our guest today has been a client of Garrett's for, 6 years or so, a little over 6 years, actually. And this is Dave Pepin. And he is with United Real Estate in Sioux City, Iowa. And he is a model of, when you commit to the system, when you work the system will work for you. And we wanted to bring Dave on because he just showcases how, if you really put in the consistent effort, and we talked about this on Raise Your Baseline, that episode we just did, man, the results are incredible. So a little bit about Dave here, and I'm pulling right from his website. Dave, I hope that's okay. But he is an award-winning top producer realtor with incredible experience, and he really puts his clients at the forefront of that experience. He wants to make sure that they enjoy the whole process and achieve their goals. And he's committed to use his expertise to guide those clients through all the transactions with the least amount of stress and anxiety as possible. So Dave, welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we're so, this is my first time meeting Dave, by the way. So Dave and I just met. Garrett, welcome to you as well, as always, I guess.
Good morning.
Fancy me welcoming you to our podcast, but.
No, it's awesome. Well, good morning, Matt. Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Dave. And yeah, I just had the chance of introducing these two together. And so Dave is a gentleman that I've been wanting to interview for a long time to showcase to people. The word that I'm actually most excited about having people get from this podcast today is consistency. And it's funny, when we do business planning, and which we're coming up on here quickly, but when we do business planning and when we are growing people's businesses and looking at, what do we want to do this next year? What do we want to have in our businesses? The number one word that comes up is, if I can just be consistent this year, that would be what really, because I've seen the systems work. I've seen this work. I've seen that work. But if I could just be consistent with it, just imagine what would happen. And Dave is the poster child of consistency. Now, I want to put out there with a caveat as we start this off, is that we all fall down. It happens. Dave's fallen down over the years, and we've talked, and we've picked things back up and said, hey, let's get systems back going again. Let's turn things back up. We just had the conversation just the other day, kind of coming out of COVID, I shouldn't say coming out of COVID, but coming out of where we've been with COVID, saying, okay, like, where are you and what's fallen by the wayside and what needs to pick back up a little bit? And those happen to everybody. But for the most part, and what I want everybody to get out today is consistency. So Dave, I want to bring you in here. You are from Sioux City, Iowa. I want to know a little background on you. How long have you lived there? How long have you been selling real estate? What did you do before you got into real estate? And we can just kind of start there and just start to pick at you.
Sounds good. Well, Sioux City, Iowa, I actually came out here for the first time in 1997. I grew up in Eastern Iowa, moved out here for college, met my wife at college on the first day of college. I ended up going into music education for about 11 years. So that would have been until about 2012 when I decided it was time for a change. We were actually back in Eastern Iowa at that time, had been for about 7 years. We moved back to Sioux City to be near my wife's family. I thought that would be a good opportunity to make that change, and got into real estate in 2012. I had been a high school band director for those 11 years, and I was looking for a new opportunity.
So I'm curious, Dave. So high school band director, because I want to kind of like get some baselines here. What does a high school band director make income-wise?
Before or after taxes?
Let's go before.
I'm thinking my best year ever. Let me start here. 2001, my first year, I was in Pocahontas, Iowa, a town, man, it can't be more than about 1,000 people. And I had to be brought up to the state minimum of $23,000. That was the first year of No Child Left Behind. And then my last year of teaching, I think, was somewhere around $60,000 a year.
All right. So you worked your way up. I mean, you're making actually, I would say, decent money as a teacher by the time you're like, I think I'm going to take a different career choice.
Yes.
Awesome. Excellent. So you were in real estate, I think, for about a year and a half in Sioux City when you got introduced to Ninja. And that was kind of like you're doing it on your own. And up to that point, what did your business look like going up to that point and numbers you were kind of working at before we met or you met Ninja?
I started in 2012 in August, and I think I only did a couple of deals. And in 2013, I had done 35 deals, and I want to say somewhere around $6 million worth of gross.
Eric, I want to interrupt you for a second. I want everybody to listen to that. 35 deals, $6 million in volume, right?
Yeah.
So keep going. Sorry for interrupting you.
No, not at all. So February rolls around of 2014, and our company luckily had been purchasing some of the Ninja webinar series. And at the end of each one of them was a phone call or a phone number to call and get connected with a coach. And I didn't want to be middle ground. I wanted to be a really good agent and be successful. So I took the step of giving a call to that number and got connected with Garrett.
So we've known each other for a while now. We've become pretty good friends. It's funny. A lot of people I don't get to meet as coaching clients all the time face to face. And so Dave, after 6 years, we just met last weekend for the first time face to face.
Yeah, it was great.
It's weird to jump out of a car from opposite sides of the street and run up and hug somebody who you literally, it's the first time you've ever seen them.
Yeah. Yeah. We know each other pretty well, I think.
But especially during these times to run up and jump into somebody's arms, I thought was quite funny. So now let's talk about, okay, before we talk about all your systems and what you do, what does your business look like today? Or maybe we can even share 2019 numbers and then kind of put the path of where you're on today or the track you're on today. Are you up for that?
Yeah. So last year I did about $12 million in gross sales, and that would have been about $330,000. And I think last year was about 70 sides. And right now in 2020, I'm at 78 sides and with what I've got pending, just shy of $15 million.
So currently right now, what is the average selling price for your marketplace? Because I know a lot of people are trying to do the math out there, trying to figure that out.
Last I looked, which was just a couple of months ago, the average selling price was about $220,000.
All right. And just so we're all on the same page, $300,000 is a lot of money to be earning in Sioux City, Iowa, or over $300,000.
Yeah, for sure.
And I also want to get in there one other key component here too, Garrett. So Dave, you do this all by yourself as well.
Yeah, that's true. I've looked at hiring some people in the past and I feel more comfortable. Maybe I'm a little bit of a control freak. I want it done the way I want it done. And yeah, I've always just done it myself.
Yeah, it's funny you say you want it done the way you want it done. I find a lot of ninjas that I work with out there because they're working with people that are their, you know, they're real true friends. And Dave, I really, what I've learned from you over the years is you've built in a really, really tight database of people you really care about. You really want to make sure the job's done right. And I run into this with ninjas a lot that have a hard time letting go of those reins because their relationship with those people is so important. And to put that in jeopardy in any way, shape, or form is not worth it. So it's almost like find that happy road. And we've had many conversations of like, I think I'm good. I don't need to make any more money. I don't need to do any more deals. I think the last 3 years you've said to me, I don't need to sell anymore. Just let's just be consistent with this moving forward because this is making my world work. This is making my life work. And the funny thing is all those years you've done more. Every year you keep doing more. And I'm always like, the better your relationships get, just more opportunities are going to keep coming in. And you've continued to see that. And being consistent with those systems, it just grows on its own. You don't have to do any more. It just grows. So I appreciate you saying that, you know, part of the reason you haven't hired an assistant is, you know, you said control freak, but it's an area that I watch a lot of ninjas have a hard time letting go of. And I think it's because how much you guys care.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. I've got a fairly small sphere And I'm not willing to jeopardize that at all. You know, my database is huge. I think I've got about 450 people in my database, people that I know and I would recognize on the street and say hi. But the people that I really dote on are, you know, probably 50 people. And I don't want to have another person in my office say or do something that would jeopardize that.
So Dave, with 50 people being at that core sphere of influence, I mean, give us an idea of like where 78 transactions come from. Are those people that are coming to you from your database and saying, hey, we need to buy and sell? Or is it referrals from those people, referrals from that core 50? Or is there something else that you're doing?
It's mostly referrals. I'm looking at my business tracker right now, and it's either past clients or referrals for upwards of 90% of my transactions. I have an odd sign call here or there, but it's all people that that know me, trust me, and like me.
I like how you refer to it as an odd sign call. Like it's like, well, that was random. Like, I got a sign call. Goes,
yeah, who makes a phone call off signs these days, right?
Well, and between you and me, when I get a sign call, a lot of times I kind of roll my eyes because 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work out.
Hey, I'm sitting in front of this property. Can I go see it right now? No.
You know, a lot of times I'll call up another agent in my office and say, hey, you want a referral?
Nice.
Well, it's also knowing your business. It's knowing what's important. And this is a thing that I want everybody, again, to understand is that this is an important aspect of knowing where do you need to be consistent and what do you need to be good in? And what are also the distractions that can take you away? Because easily, Dave, you could go run out there and work that sign call, meet somebody for the first time, start to try to build a brand new relationship. But that's also stopping you from being consistent with your systems that you just said produced you 90% of your business referrals and clients coming back and using you again?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also fiercely, I defend my time with my family because it is as precious as there isn't anything in my life. So when something's going to infringe on that, and you know, any sign call typically is after 5 p.m. and they want you to run now or they're going to call another agent, well, I'll let them call another agent because my family's more important to me.
Now, Dave, coming back to the beginning, because I think that is a really important point there, the importance of time with family and the things that we love to do. Were you always that way with your business? When you go back to 2013, 2012, or maybe when you found Ninja, did you always protect that time? Is the consistency of the things that you started then the same or similar, I should say, because there are nuances that do change as you elevate your production, but did you always protect that time and make sure you set the right boundaries?
I'd love to say that I did. I would be lying if I said that. I remember quite a few phone calls with Garrett, and we only talked once a month, but I remember talking to him about, gosh, I need to make sure that I'm getting more family time, and I feel like I'm running all over town for all these people. You know, for probably the first couple of years, I felt like that, even while coaching. And as things were built up and that consistency really started to work and make everything flow for me, that got more comfortable for me to say to people. It just allowed me that freedom to be able to feel a little less hurried and like I've got to jump for every person that gives me a call.
Dave, you'd mentioned that we talk once a month, and it's funny, is you're the only person I talk to once a month. And I've always joked about this with people. I'm like, Dave is like the tortoise and the hare. You know, you've got a lot of realtors out there that are like the hare, and they're running in every different direction and grabbing new things and trying to figure out what the new hot stuff is and trying to figure out the new thing they got to be doing and trying to figure out jetpacks so they can win the race. And Dave, you've always just been this nice, slow, steady. I called you Midwest before we got on the phone because I was like, that, you know, that's what it is. You're just this like, well, let's not overdo this. Let's just do what we need to do. And it's been one of the best things about working with you over the years is that I can give you tools and you're just like, this is what I got to do. I'm like, that's what you need to do. And you're like, all right. And it's always concerned when we first started, I was always like, really? Like, God, we're not talking enough. But you always have blown me away. You come back in a month and you're just like, all right, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. I've been doing it since we last talked. These are the results I got. Where do we go from here? And it's been one of the secrets of your success is just doing the right things and doing them over and over and over again. So I'm curious, looking at those systems that we do over and over and over again, and we do them consistently, do you do all the Ninja 9? Do you do everything front to back, you know, everything perfectly? Or do you have some systems that you lean a little bit stronger on?
I definitely don't do it perfectly. I'm a big believer in there's no such thing as perfect. But I've made modifications to make it more comfortable for me. I am, I guess, a classic extroverted introvert. I know you've laughed at that. We talked about that a couple of years ago, where I can turn it on when I'm out with people, but I like to just kind of be in my own bubble. And for me, we have talked about phone calls for years, and I just detest phone calls. And so what I changed early on, you know, the Ninja 9 talks about doing two lunches a week. And to me, face-to-face is where it's at. I love being in person with people. I can read them. I can grow the relationship so much faster. I just feel more comfortable in person. So I think for years, until probably March this year, I was doing anywhere from 6 to 9, quote, lunches with people. And that really has been my niche.
That's a week.
Yeah. And it's obviously it's not all lunches because there's only 7. But, you know, I like
to double up a couple of days.
You know, I like taking people out for a beer, or I started a couple of years ago having people over for football parties every Sunday, and I keep it small. It's 3 to 5 people on those Sundays, but they come and go, and we sit and we have a talk and talk about football and just be real. That has been kind of my go-to.
So Dave, even though calls are not your thing, I mean, when we look at the Ninja 9, right, 54 conversations per week, how many unique people would you say you talk to on a weekly basis?
You know, in addition to all of the transactions that I'm trying to keep up with, I'd probably say another 35, 40 on average.
How many transactions do you have in contract at any given time or active clients?
Right now I've got 11 and 11 in escrow, and I probably have somewhere around another 15 or so that I'm working with, either buying or selling.
So easily over 50.
Yeah, he's hitting 50.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit.
That's the point I wanted to make too. Because Garrett, we hear it all the time. Like, oh, you know, it's so hard to. It's like, well, here you go. Don't even enjoy the phone, which I am a party in that as well. I'm not a big fan of just calling people, although I do it. But you can hit 50 in so many different ways.
Should I say that I love the phone?
Yes.
All right.
Well, I don't mean to say I never use the phone. I, with the people in my sphere that I really am comfortable with, I will use the phone. And a lot of times I'll use it just to say, hey, you want to go grab a beer? Or, hey, you want to go out to lunch? You know, just send a text real quick. I like driving by as I'm. Our town is not super large. There's about 100,000 people in the metro area. And I'm able to get from one side of town to the other in 15 minutes. So a lot of times I'm driving by some client or some friend's home. And most of my clients are friends. And I'll just shoot them a text. Hey, I just drove by. What are you up to? I was thinking about you. And it's a good way for me to get a conversation started and get them out to lunch.
So lunches are fun, and I want to see what other systems you have that you are consistent with. But before we leave lunches, I think it's funny, Dave, and we've joked about this, it was 2018 going into 2019 for business planning. And Dave said to me, he goes, I think I'm going to cut back on my lunches. And I said, why in the world are you going to cut back on your lunches? He says, well, I'm putting weight on. And I said, dude, order salads and have iced tea. Like, you don't have to have a beer and you don't have to eat a burger and fries every single time. I'm like, that's your, like, one of your best tools you have. He's like, you're right. Like,
well, and you know what? In addition to that, I started playing more tennis. I've been a tennis player since I was in middle school. And that has become lunches in a way. I'm playing 4 or 5 times a week. And I'm counting those as quality time because you're going to talk on the tennis court.
Oh yeah. I think that's actually a big missed opportunity that a lot of people don't pay attention to is particularly right now. Hey, do you want to go out for a walk? You know, people are looking to get outside and enjoy a little bit of this beautiful fall season that hopefully a lot of people are starting to experience. And I mean, that's a great way to get that one-on-one time. And a little nuanced question here too, Dave, because a lot of people ask me this, you know, do I have to pay for lunches all the time? Do I always have to, like, you know, invite, hey, I'll take you to lunch? Or, I mean, I'm sure there is some of that that happens, but is there also that mutual, like, yep, we're just going out as friends to grab a meal or grab a beer?
Yeah, I actually, from time to time, I will pay. A lot of times if it's a birthday that I'm asking about, hey, you know, I'd like to take you out for your birthday, I'll do that. But it's funny because the good people who are my friends, they either don't want me to, or they're like, hey, I'll grab you next time, or they won't let me. So I'd say I probably end up not paying for anything 40% of the time because they're trying to grab it for me, or we're splitting, you know, probably another 20 to 30%.
So that falls into my philosophy that I've always had, and where a lot of people are like, you got to pick up the bill. You got to pick up the bill. And I've always told people, like, it's not about real estate. This isn't about business. This is friendship. This is relationship. So I've always found with my friends that I go to lunch with, it's like we just both throw our cards on the table and it's like, just split the bill down the middle. Or I'll get you next time, you get me this time. Because sometimes they'll force the, you know, hand and be like, I'm buying you lunch. And it's like, well, I'll get the next one. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. I find when it's that way, it perpetuates that relationship further of we're already looking forward to and talking about the next lunch. It's not somebody has like, oh, equity in this where they bought me lunch, so now they owe me something. It's friends. It's friends getting together for lunch, and you've done a great job of that.
Well, thank you.
So what other systems? What are the things? What if you had to look at your business and say, because I know your real estate reviews fell off the table here recently because our last coaching call was like, how do we fix that? So what other systems do you have in your world?
My notes, I do religiously. I make sure that I get those out. Although we've just had a conversation about how to make them more powerful. And that's something I've taken to heart. And I'm actually thinking about doing a few less, but making them better. Really, the best one I do is making sure I'm in front of people constantly. But the real estate reviews, when I've done them, have been great. Yeah, they fell off over the last couple of months, but I'll go in streaks where in 1 week, I'll do 15 of them. And then I won't do them for a couple of weeks. But I've been really consistent with making sure I'm always in front of people.
Well, Dave, if you can go back real quick, and Matt, I can tell you want to ask a question here too, but we can go back real quick to, you said doing them better, you know, creating a better handwritten note. And I really want to talk about this just for a quick second, because we watch people out there that sometimes just do the system. It's like, I'm really good at writing handwritten notes. Well, what were your last 10 handwritten notes you sent out? Well, they said happy birthday on them. Or they're in my writing and I wrote happy birthday and I sent them out to people. Well, yeah, I guess technically it's a handwritten note, but we had the discussion on, and what we're looking at here is, how can we make notes that really impact people? And I think that's important that that's what your focus is. It's not about getting the system done. It's about really connecting with the people you're sending the notes to. So tell me a little bit more about that, of like making it more powerful. And also, we haven't had a chance to talk about that. Have you seen any examples of wins around that, of making it more powerful?
In regards to making it more powerful, just really driving it home about how you feel about a person and what you admire about them has been something that I've tried to do in my notes. I don't know that I have a specific example of something that happened. You know, I've gotten comments from some people that they've said, you know, that really meant a lot to me. And we've consequently grown together more and gone out more, and that relationship has evolved. But I don't know that I could specifically say, oh yeah, this happened because of it. And maybe that's the beauty of it. You know, you end up reaping the rewards down the road.
Well, for some people, it's hard to quantify. And that's why I wanted you to kind of share that, is that it's hard to look at it and say, I wrote these notes, I got this business. I did these lunches, I got this business. Obviously, your lunches, you do enough of them and you see people face to face. You can actually quantify that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or I made these phone calls, I got this business. Or I did these real estate reviews, I got this business. It's a multiplier as you start to apply these things together. And as you stay consistent with them, and people go, that's who Dave is. That's who you are. And it's not like some system you just did where they're like, what's Dave up to? Like, all of a sudden I'm getting handwritten notes. It's just like, no, that's who Dave is. Dave is that person. Oh, lunches and going out for beer. That's just who Dave is. Like, that's what you do with Dave. And that multiplies and gets exponential as you do it with time and you do it consistently, which is what you've done really well.
Thanks.
So all of these flow items that you're doing and staying in front of people and making that the highest priority so that you can be connected, it sounds like it takes up a bit of time, but then you're also closing more than one deal a week. And that probably takes a little bit of time too. So can you talk a little bit about how you manage your day and your weeks so that you have time to go on listing consultations, do buyer consultations, home inspections, paperwork, all of the things that go along with making a transaction happen?
Well, when I first got into Ninja Coaching, I remember seeing a screenshot. I don't know if Garrett gave it to me or if it had been in one of the webinars, but the Ninja Perfect Week. And I took that and I modified it pretty heavily. I think in there they had real estate reviews on the first day, as well as getting hold of the lenders and whatnot. So you had your Monday morning agenda on Monday and all that. Well, I try to keep my mornings as sacred as I possibly can. So I get my paperwork done in the morning. This morning, for example, I was up at 5. I got a couple of paperwork items done before I hopped on with you guys. And that way, you know, by 9, 10 o'clock, I'm done and ready to roll with whoever I need to be hanging out with or doing showings or listing appointments. And I've got my presentations down so that it doesn't take me terribly long in order to sit down with a client and roll my buyer process or my seller process and really push through and make the week efficient.
Now, with the buyer and seller process too, I would imagine you say you have it down, and we experience this a lot. I mean, realtors all over the country experience this, where clients are different, right? Everybody kind of has a different approach. And so along with the theme of consistency, if you have somebody that comes in that wants to waver from your process a little bit, do you allow that? Or do you keep them pretty much, hey, we're having this buyer consultation. If that's not acceptable to you, then here's Joe, you can go work with him, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I'd lean more towards that. I find a lot of times if buyers or sellers are apprehensive about having that consultation, that it doesn't take real long for us to drift apart. Buyers especially, because a lot of times I'll have a conversation with them from the beginning about, hey, I'd like to schedule a consultation. And in the consultation, we're going to go through a purchase agreement and what happens from the time you make an offer until you close. And then by the time you walk out, you'll have a list of homes that meet your criteria. And does that sound interesting to you? And they either say yes or no. And if it's a no or they hem and haw, I know how that's going to go. So I kindly suggest I refer them to somebody else.
That's perfect.
And then the you know, the whole big picture of protecting your time and protecting your energy. And I think it's a beautiful way to look at it. I tell people all the time, if you do all the systems and you do them consistently, you will create more business than you can handle. But it also allows you to let go of people. And to, you know, if you're not going to follow my process, it's okay to say, here, let me introduce you to so-and-so, because they're not following the plan that you need to be successful with them. And as you said, you're going to drift apart, but that drifting apart, that time spent and drifting apart is a whole lot of wasted time.
Oh, and it's all stress. I mean, I'm going to be a bundle of nerves anytime I'm around them, because I know they didn't understand what was going to happen in the process. And if I'm doing 70 or 80 sides a year, that's a lot of stress. So I just let that go.
Well, you say 70 or 80. You're at 78 right now, and today is October 9th.
Yeah.
All right. You're gonna do more than 80, just so you know.
Well, I'll bring up a topic that I know a lot of people probably have questions about. I mean, consistency, obviously, in the actions, but how about consistency with auto flow as well? What does your auto flow look like right now?
You know, I don't really have auto flow. I have always been turned off by automatic emails that come from people. About the only auto flow that I have is Garrett turned me on to Field Notes about a year ago. And I have made sure that all of my buyers and sellers are getting text messages from me for anniversaries and for birthdays and those kind of events in their lives. And they all know that I have this extra number. So it'll say, happy birthday. Do you have any big plans? And then it starts a conversation for me. And I would say 80 to 90% of them will reply to that. And then I'll follow up with more questions. That's about the only autoflow that I've got. I don't like receiving emails from realtors. I don't like receiving emails from any company, so I don't do it.
Staying true to your personality. I think that's important.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Dave, and other types of marketing that you have go out that celebrate, you know, who you are and the value and service that you offer, what type of marketing do you have going out to your people?
I mean, I have my 2 to 3 postcards a month, and I make sure that it's primarily science mailings. I have some art type mailings that go out, but my personality is more science. So I think if I got too artsy about it, it wouldn't be genuine. So I really run a very tight or slim or however streamlined business. I've got marketing on Facebook, and that's primarily for videos that I've had created or properties. But I don't do a lot of the other peripheral stuff, and partially because with it just being me, I don't have the time to do it.
Well, I think, you know, when we've talked about the 80-20 rule, and what you've done a really good job with over this time is figuring out, well, what is the 20% that'll produce me 80% of my results? And let's just get really good at that stuff. And over the time that we've worked together, I mean, believe me, I've had to talk you out of buying leads. Well, you were buying leads, and then I've been able to kind of like have that fall off slowly, slowly, slowly until I'm like, dude, are you ready to let that go?
You're like, you know, it's funny because I was doing Zillow for, I think, 4 years, and I wasn't paying a ton of money, but we'd always have the conversation about, you know, how many transactions are you doing? And I think I was pulling 5 a year. And so it more than paid for what I was spending, but what a hassle. And yeah, Garrett, you got me out of it about going on 2 years ago, and my business has gotten better because of it, because I'm focusing on the systems and getting out there and not running around dealing with random leads.
The conversation we had was, you said, but it's paying for itself. And I was like, Dave, I don't want it to pay for itself. And think about it. What if you gave all that time and money and put it back into your people? Like, your people love you. And it was interesting to watch taking that away and watching your business grow by taking it away, which I thought was really powerful in your world.
Well, and you know, I took that money, and you had at some point told me about another agent that you're coaching that had been sending flowers and balloons and whatnot to people on the passing of a family member, or when someone was sick, or anytime they had a conversation and there was something significant. I started doing that, and that has been a much better thing to use that money for.
Yeah, it's amazing how you can repurpose funds when you realize that maybe some of your funds are not being used appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Well, I love about that too, is it sounds like, Dave, you're, and I'm curious if this mindset has evolved over your career, because when I look at it, a lot of people come into like, okay, I just got to make deals happen. Let me just do the things. But it sounds like, and maybe this is the way it always has been, but it certainly sounds like now that you're focused on how can I just create value for these people who are in front of me, whether it's real estate related or not. I mean, that idea of taking, hey, the money that I was using to provide for me 5 transactions a year, I'm going to take that money and now just provide for the people in my database and light up their day a little bit, make them feel a little bit better. And that's had a dramatic impact, positive impact on your business.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly accurate. And it makes me feel better about what I'm doing. It's allowed me to have a little less stress in the life because I'm not chasing those leads. I'm getting to be around people that I like more often and making them feel good. So yeah, it's definitely been a positive thing. And I think I've done more transactions easier because of that.
Well, Dave, I think, you know, going back to where we started this whole conversation off with being consistent, the thing I love about you is you've always had just a nice grouping of systems that work with you. And you're one of those guys that's like, it's got to feel true to me. It's got to feel genuine. I need to feel like anything that I'm doing is authentic to the people that I'm giving it to and to who you are as a core. And it, again, been fun to watch your business grow. It's been fun to watch who you've become over this time, because you are, I would call, extremely successful when it comes to real estate in any given market. And in Sioux City, the rewards are just so incredibly great. It does take a lot of transactions to get there, but you've done such a great job. So around that consistency side, I hope everybody's been able to gather so far. And Matt, I'm curious to see if you have any more questions, but I have loved what you've been able to share so far about just doing certain systems and repeatedly doing them the right way. And that's what's gotten you to where you are, from being able to go from, you know, a teacher to going into starting your real estate career to, I remember the first day I talked to you and you said you did done 35 sides a year before, or the last 12 months, to where you've grown to right now, and all being referral for the most part and past client. I'm so happy you were able to come with us today and share this story and share where you're at, because again, I hear so many people around the United States that go like, oh, but that's that person. Oh, and that's their market. And now that market doesn't pertain to my market. I know, I flew into Sioux City last week. Dave is personally helping me with some real estate right now. And I had to fly into Omaha and drive an hour and a half to get to Sioux City. And it's not one of these bustling coastal cities that's a big metropolis and all this. Like, this is good, heart of the, you know, salt of the earth, you know, heart of America town that, Dave, you've been able to do amazing things in. And it's a testament to how well Ninja works anywhere.
Well, thanks again. And you're right. You know, this town is really blue collar. There's not a lot of high paying jobs in the area. And therefore, there's not a ton of higher end housing. And just thank you for coaching me all these years, because it's turned into a business where people come to me. Maybe I'm attracting them, or whatever the word you want to use, but it really, it's not an incredible hard job as long as those systems stay consistent.
Well, Dave, I mean, I want to highlight one thing, and I have a final question for you as well. But for everybody listening, if you weren't paying attention close enough to the numbers here, I just want to kind of recap a little bit of this. It went from, I mean, Dave, your journey is incredible, from the state minimum of $23,000 to $60,000 a year as a teacher, band director, to a few years later, about $150,000 or so in gross commissions from real estate, finding Ninja, to now, based on my calculation, probably over $400,000 in gross commission income now today, based on just working the system. And it does take a little bit of time, but I think for the listeners out there, if you're thinking, oh, when is this thing going to work? I mean, how worth it is it for you to just put in the work and then down the road, not that far away, to have over $400,000 in income, depending on where you live, potentially a lot more? And so, Dave, I guess the question I would have for you to kind of close it out for all the listeners is, if what, then we get this a lot, I will say, and we're about to do a Q&A episode, and people ask this question all the time. What is, if I could do one thing, what is the one thing that I really need to focus on being consistent with in the Ninja systems in order to start accelerating my business? The thing that needs to be a non-negotiable, what would that be for you maybe today? And then what would that be your advice to somebody who's maybe in their first few years kind of hitting this rut, trying to get over the hump to accelerate their deals?
I think for me, I would tell them, get comfortable with either the phone or with being in front of people in person. That is the thing that has accelerated my business more than anything. And it took time. You had to be in front of those people all the time, creating a relationship. But once the relationships evolved, you start to receive the rewards. Case in point, I met a gentleman through my tennis matches 4 or 5 years ago, and I just received a couple of referrals from him, and I only see him probably every few weeks.
And have you ever sold him a house?
No, I have not.
There you go.
That's really important. And I think it's interesting, especially as people are building their business and growing their business, they can very easily get into a mindset of, but that person doesn't need to buy right now, so I'm not going to spend time with them. I'm going to go spend time with this person over here who's actually making signs of buying. And it's like, no. Slow down for a second. Like, everybody counts. Everybody that you're around, all these relationships that you're getting the chance to build. Take them all to heart and bring them in and build those connections. And whether they do business with you or not, I really don't care. And Dave, that's a prime example of somebody, as you're saying here, I've never done business with them. It's been years. But here, all of a sudden, a whole bunch of referrals come in. Like, that's golden. That's what it's all about.
I guess I've always treated everybody, or tried to treat everybody, like at some point we're going to be really good friends if we aren't already. And I think that's really helped me in the years I've been doing this.
I have one last question now that's come up. Because of the business you've built, and because it's built off your friends, the people you trust, relationships you've built, in a time frame right now that we have lots of people coming out and going, what does this world mean? Where is this going to? What does this mean for real estate? Would you say you are in a much more confident space about the business that you're going to be able to continue to grow and build, or at least continue to move forward with? I would say, is the security stronger because it's a business built off relationships and referrals and people needing help with real estate rather than leads and sign calls, and hopefully my advertisement this week makes it in front of somebody?
I don't think there's a doubt in my mind. I don't remember the last, I shouldn't say that. I got a sign call yesterday and sold a house off of it, but
come on, Dave.
I haven't had that happen in months, but I've got 11 other transactions in my pipeline that came from knowing people. And I'm not really concerned one little bit that I'm going to have trouble next year, no matter what climate we're in, just because people always have changes happening in their life. They're going to need to move for one reason or another. And as long as I'm in touch with them and they know me, like me, and trust me, they're going to give me a call.
All right. I'm going to end it right there.
That was perfect. Well, Dave, I want to say, Garrett, I'll let you close it out. I just want to say to Dave, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to get to know you for a little bit here. And I look forward to having more conversations with you and getting to know you in the future. I hope our listeners enjoyed getting to know you a little bit as well. And I'm sure they'll maybe perhaps be able to hear from you in the future as well. And certainly, if anybody wants to take a trip to Sioux City, Iowa, I think we know somebody who would probably grab a beer with you if you're willing to do that.
For sure.
Dave, I want to say thank you so much also. And it's funny, I really was in Sioux City last week, and I got home and was talking with Sarah, Sarah's my wife, if nobody knows who Sarah is, talking with Sarah about, getting a chance to work with you. And she goes, how was it working with Dave? Because it's funny to coach somebody. It's nothing to work, truly have you as a real estate agent. And my first words out of my mouth was, Dave's no joke. Like, Dave is exactly who I was expecting Dave to be. And you showed up. It was so impressive to be able to work with you. And the level that you brought to the table, and how much you made me feel like you were there for me while I was in town. So again, the results that you get are because of the care and concern that you have for the people that you're working with. And I got a chance to experience it, and it's so nice to have it backed up what you think of somebody. And you really do bring it all. So thank you so much. So to kind of put a big bow on this, I would just want to say thank you to all of you who are listening out there today. Obviously, Dave's been in coaching. We've talked a lot about coaching today. But if anybody wants to experience kind of what this is or get a sense of what coaching is, go to ninjacoaching.com. We'd love to be able to talk with you, learn a little bit about your business, and see if there's a path here for you that we can help you with. But other than that, thank you so much. Matt, thank you. Dave, thank you. And I appreciate everybody who's tuned in today. And I hope you got something great out of this podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about Ninja Selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.